Today's daf is Nazir Daf Nun Zayin. We are beginning the 8th parak of Maseches Nazir today. The Mishnah is going to talk about a case of a suffik, which night, if you have two Nazirim and one of them became Tameh, but you don't know which one became Tameh, how they go about proceeding with their various Karbanos, the Karbanos of Tahar and the Karbanos of Tumah. If you're not sure which one is the Nazir Tahar, which one is the Nazir Tameh. The Gemara is going to talk about a very fundamental issue. When we have this rule in throughout Tumah and Tahara that suffik Tumah Bereshus HaYachid is Tameh, Safek Tumah Bereshus HaRabim is Tahar, how many people have to be there for it to constitute Bereshus HaRabim? We know that in different areas of Halacha, it may require different numbers of people. One would imagine that for Safek Tumah Bereshus HaRabim, it doesn't need Shishim Rebo, that you're not going to need 600,000 the way you would need for a Shabbos, according to many Rishonim. So what exactly is the Geder of Safek Tumah Bereshus HaRabim Tahar and Bereshus HaYachid Tameh? On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about how we can do any giluach misafek, meaning since our Mishnah talks about a guy who's a safek nazir, tameh, so he's going to do a giluach. At some point, there's going to be a giluach that's done where he shaves his entire head, misafek. Maybe he's required to do it. But after all, isn't that a violation of hakafas harosh? Misafek, you do things misafek when you're not losing anything on any other halachos, but this is a violation of hakafas harosh. So the Gemara, that's going to lead into a discussion of whether hakafas kolarosh is a violation of cutting off the payas, or maybe that's only when you leave hair on top of the head and you cut off the payas. And it's also going to lead into a discussion about being makif a child, cutting off the payas of a child. And I was going to tell a pretty remarkable story about that, but then we're going to talk about the necessity, if there is any necessity, for children to have payas, and if it's mutter for other people to cut the children's payas, and if so, who can cut the payas off of children. So let's begin with the Mishnah Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. Shnei Nazirim, Sharmalan Echad, you have two Nazirim, and one person says to them, Ra'isi Echad Michem Shenitma, Ve'in Yodea Eze Michem. I've seen that one of you has become Tameh, meaning I was watching and I observed that there was Tumas Mace, that one of you encountered, but I don't know which one of you became Tameh. So the halach is, they have to proceed as follows. Megalchin, they both do a Giluach, Umavin Korban Tumah v'Korban Tarah, and they bring a Korban Tumah, one Korban Tumah and one Korban Tarah from amongst them. Meaning, because one of them is a Nazir Tameh, one of them is a Nazir Tahar. V'Omer, and they say as follows, Im ani hu tameh, if I'm the one who's the Nazir Tameh, Korban Tumah shaliv, Korban Tarah shalcha, then the Korban Tumah is mine, the Korban Tarah belongs to the other guy who's a Nazir Tahar. Vim ani hu atar, and if I'm the guy that's a Tahar, Korban Tarah shali, then the Korban Tarah is mine, the Korban Tumah shalach, and the Korban Tumah belongs to the other guy. Then, v'sofer and shloshim yom, they count 30 days, umavin Korban Tarah, and from amongst the two of them, they bring one more Korban Tarah. Va'omer, and you say again as follows, if I was the guy that was Tameh in the first place, so my Korban Tumah was already brought previously, then Korban Tumah Shali, the Korban Tumah that was brought previously was mine, the Korban Tarah Shalach, and the Korban Tarah that was previously brought was yours, was the other guy's, was the one that was Tar, Vizek Korban Tarasi, and this now is going to be my Korban Tarah, because now I've finally observed my Naziris Betara after this additional 30 days. But v'maniu ator, if I was the Tor guy, I was the guy that never had Tumah in the first place, Korban Tarah Shali, the Korban Tarah that was brought 30 days ago was my Korban Tarah, the Korban Tumah Shalcha, and the Korban Tumah that was brought 30 days ago was your Korban Tumah, v'zeh Korban Tarah Scha, and this is now your Korban Tarah. So as long as you know from amongst the two of them that one of them is Vaday Tameh and one of them is Vaday Tar, you can work it out with the Korbanos al Tanai to make it that the Korbanos are going to work for the two of them. Now, Tosus points out a couple of things over here. First of all, Shnei Nazirim Shomer Lahem Echad says Tosus Tzorach Lomer. The Gemara talks, the Mishnah says that you have two Nazirim. Someone says to both of them, one of you is Tameh. And what's their response? Meaning the Mishnah tells us what they're bringing, what their Korbanos are, but it didn't tell us the whole case. Are they denying it? Are they saying no, we're not? Is one of them saying, yeah, it was me? Even though you didn't see, I know that it was me, or it wasn't. One of them denies it, one of them, what's going on? So Tosfos says, Tzorach Lomer Shein Shoskin. It has to be that the case is that they don't say anything. They don't deny it at all. Shim Hayu Machishin Oso, because if they were denying it, Lo Hayu Ne'eman, then the guy would not be believed that one of them is Tameh. if they say, or if even one of them says, I don't know what you're talking about, I'm not Tameh, so there was no suffix to him over here, then the aid would not be believed, because I'm reading the Kiddushin Perek Omer, Eid Achad Ba'achasha Mi Mehemin. That an Eid Achad Ba'achasha is not Mehemin, so it's not believed. So since you have this one aid, who they are Makchish, so there he would not be believed. It's only because they're not Makchish, so it's a Shtika Kahoda'a type of thing. Then Tosfos points out in the next one, Megalchon Mavin Karban Tumah, Vikarban Tarva Omer, that you go through this whole procedure and you verbally make the Tanai, that if I'm the Tame one, then this is how it is, and if I'm the Tara one, then this is how it is. So Tosfos, Lav Dafka Nakat Viomer, they don't actually have to say anything. That they just bring this number of karbanos, and it's understood, obviously, that the karban tumah is going to be for the guy who's tameh, and the karban tarah is going to be for the guy who's tar, and then the subsequent karban tarah 30 days later is going to be for the guy who is originally tameh. That's itself understood. That's how Tosfos understands. In Chidush Rabbeinu Peretz, he says, no, they have to say it beferish. Va'omer is not lav dafka. Va'omer is very much dafka, because the cost of a karban tara is more than that of a karban tumah, because a karban tumah is only shnei torim and an asham, which is a behema, whereas karbanos tara are three behemos. So it turned out whoever bought the karbanos tara paid more than whoever bought the karbanos tumah. So you have to make it tonight that each one is foregoing his chelek that's nogea to him on the money for the karban tara, in order that the other guy should be able to fulfill his karbanos. So since they're presumably they're splitting the cost 50-50, but it doesn't break down that way in terms of what their actual chiyuvim are, so that's why it's important. That's what the va'omer is there for. That's why the va'omer comes to compensate for the fact that the costs don't really reflect. The cost of the karbanos don't really reflect an even split that they actually pay for. So says the Gemara now, Katani, the case of the Mishnah was Shnei Nazirim Sha'amar Lahem Re'is Yechem Michem Shenitma Ben Yodei Eiz Michem. It was two Nazirim, and one guy said to these two Nazirim, I saw that one of you became Tameh. Vamai, well, wait a second, why should we have to be machmir at all over here? Kol savik tumah b'rishus hayachid mehechi alfin la misota. We learn the din of savik tumah b'rishus hayachid from a sota, that the Torah calls the act of a sota tumah, even though it's not really tumah. It's arayos, it's terrible, it's a terrible avera, but it's not tumah. Generally speaking, in halacha, there are three basic areas of halacha. There's tumah tara, there's isra v'heter, and there's dini mamonis. Arayos are a subsection of isra v'heter. They're a very strong form of isra v'heter. So if that's the case, it doesn't really make sense. It doesn't make logical sense that we would learn the din of suffik tumah, which is only a din in tumah v'tara, from a case of sota. But nevertheless, the Torah calls it tumah. So since the Torah calls it tumah, we assume that the Torah is hinting to us that we're supposed to learn something important about tumah from sota. And what's the din by a sota? That since we're not sure what she did, her husband told her, I don't want you ever hanging out with that man again. And then she went and she had yichud with that man. She had stira with that man. She was alone in the room with that man. So how many people were in the room? It was her and that guy. It was two people that were in the room. And we assume the worst happened. We assume that she's asura labayla until she's vindicated by the mei sota, until she could drink the mei sota and turn out that we were able to prove that she did nothing. So you see, safek tumah b'rishus hayachid, when there are only two people, is tameh. But wait a second, ma sota bol v'nevelas av kol safek tumah b'rishus hayachid gondika betray. So you see from there that not just the rule that a safek tumah b'rishus hayachid is tameh, you also see the geder of how we define a b'rishus hayachid, that a b'rishus hayachid is defined in the context of sota as one man, one woman, meaning a total of two people. So too, whenever we have a suffix to Marishas Yachid, it's always defined as two people. If you have more than two people, Aval Hacha, Shnei Nazirim, Vahai, if you have more than two people, like in our case, where you have two Nazirim and the aid, who says that I saw that there was Tumah, so I saw that one of you became Tameh, Dekai Gabeun, this guy that was standing with them, Hatfasa, that's three people. Havlei Safek Tumah b'Rishus HaRabim. So this should be classified as a Safek Tum Rishus Rabbim, not as a Safek Tum Rishus Yachid. And the rule should, that should change the halacha entirely. Because Safek Tum Rishus Rabbim Sveikotar. The rule is Safek Tum Rishus Rabbim is Sveikotar. We're always makel on a Safek Tum Rishus Rabbim. So the chumrah of requiring karbanos of Tumah at all in our Mishnah is really unnecessary. We should say that it's a din of a Safek Tum Rishus Rabbim, where it's automatically going to be. Where it's automatically going to be tahar. So a couple of things over here. In our Gemara, it's clear that since Sota is alone with the Boel, so that's two people, and therefore if there are three people or more, that's considered that's not considered Rishus Yachid for Tumah anymore. That's considered Rishus Rabbim, and that's how the Rabban paskins in a couple of places in the 9th parak of Hilchas Nazirus, in the 16th parak of Hilchas Avos HaTumah. However, there is a Yerushalmi in Sota that discusses the following case. What if a man doesn't tell his wife just, I don't want you to be with that man, I don't want you to hang out with that guy? What if he says, I don't want you to hang out with those two men? There are two people that he suspects that his wife has an inappropriate relationship with, or even more than two men. And then she goes alone, so to speak, in a room with both of them, meaning she's not alone with any one of them, but she's alone with both of them. So she's Naseris Labaila Ad Shetishta, the Yerushalmi says. That also affects the Dine Sota. She is Asura Labaila, meaning we, even though we don't know what she did, we assume the worst. And the Rambam paskins this in the first parak of Hilchos Sota. So the Achronim all raise the question, what is going on with this Rambam? How can both of those dinim be true? If you're going to say that Safek Tum Rishus Yaakov is defined as two people, and once you have three, it's automatically Rishus HaRabim. But wait a second, we derive Safek Tum Rishus Yaakov from Sota. By Sota, there could be three people, there could be 10 people. Depends how many people the husband was Mekani with. So that's the Kasha, the Achronim asked, that it seems to be Astira in the Shitas HaRambam. So Turyevan suggests that the Rambam holds like the Shitas HaRashba, that Me'a Nashim Kichad, that when you have 100 women, it counts all as one, and therefore she's not considered with the two that he was Makani to make three, meaning she doesn't count in the group. The other two guys count in the group. But that's difficult because the even though Me'a Nashim Kichad, but if that doesn't mean that an Isha Achas is Kaziro. That means an Isha Achas is also Kichad. And Isha Achas is also like one. That's what the Maritz Chayis points out. Also from the Yerushalmi, it sounds like it's Lav Dafka too. It could be any number that the guy was of men that the guy was Mekani. That's going to create the Issa. So Minchas Chinuch suggests a little differently. Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Shin Samachay says, based on the Tosfos in Maseches Sota, where Tosfos says that Tumah Rishus Rabbim is only when the Safek is Golui Lakol. What is the definition of Rishus Rabbim when it comes to Tumah? It's a place that's exposed to anybody. It's there for anybody to see. But when it's not Golui Lakol, even if it was in a technical Rishus HaRabim, but it's not there for people to see, then it would have a din of a, let's say it was covered up or something, then it would have a din of a Safek Tuma Rishus HaYachin. And that's why Tosfos writes that a Safek Nida, whether she's Ra'asa or Lo Ra'asa, so that's a Safek Rishus HaYachin. The woman may have been in Times Square at the time that she's a Safek Nida, that she had a Hargasha or whatever, she's not sure whether she was Ra'asa or Lo Ra'asa, so shouldn't she say Safek Tuma Rishus HaRabim, so she should be Tar? No, because that's not Goli Lakol. It's not something that's there for people to see. So since it's the makom of the Safik is based on Starim, so that's why it would be a Safik Tum Rishus Hayachid. So based on that, says the Minchas Chinuch, even if the woman were alone with many men, it would still be considered Rishus Hayachid, because the Safik is b'makom aseser, between the Baal and the Nevelas. And therefore, it's always a Safik Sota is always going to be considered Rishus Hayachid. Aye, but what about our Gemara that says Masota Bol Vinavelas Av Kal Safek Tum Rishus Yachid Kugondi Ika Betray? It doesn't mean that it's only a place where there's one person and one person that are alone together. It means even if she's with many people, but the Safek is only on the Boel Vinavelas, and therefore it's considered a Rishus Yachid, because the Safek is only about the Boel and the Nevelas, but not that there's not more than two people there. The number of people present, says the Minchas Chinuch, doesn't really affect this, the dinim of Safek Tumah. means, is this something that's there for the public to be able to see? So that's one fascinating ha'ara that the Minchas Chinuch has based on trying to work out our Gemara with the halacha by Sota. The other ha'ara from our Gemara, you see clearly that three people together is considered Rishas Harabim, in order that we would say something to Rishas Harabim is Tar. Tosos Maseches Sota raises the question that in Maseches Nida, the Gemara discusses a case where you have three women that are all sleeping on one bed, and Nimtza Dam Tachas Achas Mehen, and blood is found underneath one of them. Kulan Tmeos, even though there are three people. So that's like a suffix that's Nimtza Rishos Harabim. So Tosa says, you can't be Matir, that suffix, because you know that the Dam came from one of them, so, and she's Tmea Vadai. So you can't be Matir, all of them, when you know for sure that one of them is definitely going to be Tameh. So that's what he suggests. And he says, therefore, since the suffix is on all of them together, and you can't say they're all Tahar, you have to be Matameh all of them, because how are you going to choose one over the other? That's a Mishnah in the fifth parak of Maseches Taros. People don't know it from Taros, they know it from the first parak of Maseches Pesachim, but it's a Mishnah in the fifth parak of Maseches Taros, where it talks about, you have Shnei Shvilim, you have two paths. I just learned this with my kids the other day. You have two paths. You have Tumah on one path, and not on the other path. So one of the paths is Tameh, one of them is not. A guy, Reuven, goes down one path, Shimon goes down the other path. One of them is definitely Tameh. So the Mishnah says, if Reuven goes and asks his rabbi a shayla, his rabbi will say, Safek Tum Rishas Rabim, Tahar. Shimon goes and asks his rabbi a shayla, his rabbi will say, Safek Tum Rishas Rabim, Tahar. But if Reuven and Shimon both come to the same rabbi at the same time, then they're both Tameh. Why are they both Tameh? They both, it's the same case, the same thing, nothing changed, nothing happened differently. No, because even though it's a Safek Tum Rishas Rabim, when you know for sure that one of them is Tameh, you cannot paskin that both people are Tahar. And once you can't paskin, so each, if they ask different rabbis, so each, neither one is paskining that both people are Tahar, they're only paskining about the person that they were asked about. But when they come to Basachas, when they come together, so then you can't paskin that they're both Tahar, you're going to have to paskin that one of them's Tameh. And if you paskin that one of them's Tameh, then you have to paskin that they're both Tameh, because you can't just choose one over the other. That's the rule of Safek Tum Rishas Harabim. The other Geder issue over here about defining Rosh Hashanah is, even if you can assume that it's this number, that it's three people makes up Rosh Hashanah, three people where? How close do they have to be to each other in order for us to then say, okay, they're together, and that's it, that's there for Rosh Hashanah? The Rambam in the ninth parak of Hilchos Nazirus says that if they're in Chatzer Achas, they're in the same courtyard, they're in the same general vicinity, that's considered Rabim, Sveik on Tahar. The Ravid over there is Masig on the Rambam, and he says a Chatzar is not Mitzari, three people who happen to be standing in the same Chatzar to make a Rosh Hashanah with regard to a Safik Tumah. He says they have to be Memaimar Echad, and the Safik Tumah is Nolad Beinehem, meaning that the Safik Tumah in some way relates to all three of them. Then there are Rabim and Sveik on Tahar, even if one of them knows that he's not Tameh and the Suffolk is only on the other two. But if the Suffolk could not have been Shaykh to the third guy, he wasn't even anywhere near him where he was at all related to it, then he would not be Mitztarif with them. So you see that the Ravid understands Suffolk to Rosh Hashanah is only when the Suffolk is Nogea L'Rabin, meaning Rabin is not describing the place, it's describing who is affected by the Safek Tumah. So that's how the Ravid seems to understand. It's just difficult to figure out the Geder in light of our Gemara, that our Gemara assumes that if the person is talking to the Tunazirim, the fellow who's talking to the Tunazirim has no Sheikhas to the Safek, he has no, but yet the Ravid somehow is still going to consider this a Rosh Hashanah. So it's difficult to figure out exactly what the Ravid is saying, but apparently he's saying fundamentally that the definition of Rosh Hashanah is not by how many people are there, it's by how many people are affected by the Safek Tumah that presents itself. So anyway, back in the Gemara. So the Gemara has this question. The Gemara is bothered, is this, if a Safek Tumah Rosh Hashanah is in fact Tahar, why is it that when a man says to two Nazirim, one of you are Tameh, that we have to be Machmir? It's a Safek Tumah Rosh Hashanah, so we should say Tahar. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava Barafuna, Ba Omer Re'isi Tuma, Shenizrika Beneichem. The guy didn't say, I was right with you at the time that one of you became Tameh. No, he says, I was standing at a great distance. I was standing far away, and I saw there was Tuma Nizrak Beneichem. There was Tuma thrown amongst you. It was thrown in your vicinity. So but I didn't know. I didn't see anything. I wasn't even in the same chatzar as you. Amar Rav Ashi, Dekanami, and it's Meduik this way in the Mishnah, the Ketani, Ve'eni Yodeya Ezemichem. Shema Mina, he does not say, Eini Zocher, I don't remember which one of you became Tameh, he tells the point out. He says, Eini Yodeya, meaning I never knew, I never realized, I never was close enough to see. It's not Shechachti, that I forgot which one of you became Tameh. That would have been if I was there, and I saw that one of you became Tameh, I saw which one, and I just don't remember. No, I never saw it in the first place. That's the Eini Yodeya. Now Tosus on the bottom of Amud Aleph points out, and he's standing from a distance, and that's what makes it a Savik Tum Brishos Yachid. But Frak Tosus Vim Tomar, Im Kein Yavi Kol Echad, Korban Tuma Vadai. The call Savik Tum Brishos Yachid, Sofran La Truma. Tosus says, wait a second, the rule of Savik Tum Brishos Yachid is Tameh, it's Tameh B'Torah's Vadai, it's not Tameh B'Torah's Safek. I might have come in whether you say something's Tamei B'Torah's Vadai or something's Tamei B'Torah's Safek. Let's say you have Truma, and you're not sure if it became Tamei or not. So the halacha is, if you're not sure if that Truma is Tamei, there's a halacha called Tolin. You're not allowed to burn it because it's Aser to burn Tahar Truma. You're also not allowed to eat it because it's Aser to eat Tamei Truma. So when it stays B'Torah's Safek, the halacha is Tolin. You can't eat it, you can't burn it, you wait till it spoils and that's it, and it will just disappear, it will disintegrate, or you'll throw it out after it's totally spoiled and gone and rotten. But you can't burn it, you can't do anything with it. But what do we say when you have a suffix tumma brishos yachid on truma? When there's a suffix where the truma became tamin brishos yachid, sarfin, we burn the truma. It's b'toras vadai. So if we're really going to be operating with suffix tumma brishos yachid in our mishnah, there shouldn't be, you know, these karbanos al tanai. Maybe it's yours, maybe it's mine. Each guy is a Nazir Tameh Vadai, because each one is a Savik Tum Rishos Seyachiv, and that's B'Torah's Vadai. Says Tosos, a great Chiddush. V'yesh Lomar, the Lokimiri Misota, Eldavisha Efsha Lios Kisota, the Efsha Shenitmes. He says, when do we say that Savik Tum Rishos Yachid is Tameh B'Torah's Vadai? That's only if it's possible that it is in fact Tameh. But over here where we know that it's impossible that both of these people are Tameh, only one of them came in contact with the Tumah, we cannot possibly declare, it's Achush Mechish, we see that it's clearly against the Metzius to declare that they're both Tameh Vadai. You could say, even though it's only a suffix, whether this thing became Tameh, we're going to treat it like a Vadai. That we could have such a din in the Torah, suffix Tum Rishos Yachid, we'll treat it like Tameh Vadai. But if you know for sure that amongst these two things, one of them is definitely Tahar, you can't declare both of them to be Tameh Vadai. Tos says, but Vim Tomar Im Kain, my park may occur. Then what's the kasha in the first place? Vasavik Tum Rishos Rabim Hu Kolomar Viyaviu Shneim Karbantara. What are we suggesting? That it should be a Savik Tum Rishos Rabim, and one of them should bring a, and they should both bring a Karbantara. They should both be treated like Tarim. But don't you know that one of them is definitely Tamei? Vasavik Tum Rishos Rabim Dem Tarina Nami Misota Gamrina La. We also learn that from Sota. So if you can use the Sota model, so you should only be able to derive in a case where it's possible that they're both Vaday Tahar. Over here, it's not possible that they're both Vaday Tahar. One of them is Vaday Tameh. One of them is definitely going to be Tameh. So how can we derive from Sota, that how can we even suggest in our Gemara that they should both be Tar, and we should ignore them entirely, declare both of them to be Vadei Tar? You can't derive that from Sota. Tosla says, a great Chiddush, Ein Achinami, Tosla says. No one ever said that you learn the din of Savik Tumah Bereshos HaRabim Tar from Sota. Doesn't say that anywhere. We don't learn that from Sota. We learn the din Savik Tumah Bereshos HaYachid Tameh from Sota. The din of Savik Tum Brishos HaRabim is Tahar? That we know on our own. Even without Sota, we would know that. Every person has a Cheskas Tara. So we're Mamadish Al Cheskaso. We keep a person with this Cheskas Tara. That's where we know Savik Tum Brishos HaRabim is Tahar. Not from Sota. This is in fact the Machlokas Rishonim. Tosos elsewhere in Shas disagrees. The Gemara in Nida says, we're on Daf Gimel, that the Rabbanan only mitar Savik Tum Brishas Rabim by a Savik Tvila because the Gavra is Becheskas Tuma. So, and we have a Savik whether he's no longer Tame or not. So Tosos in the beginning of Mesechus Nida holds that it's that against this Tosos, that it's not only Savik Tum Brishas Yachid Tame that we learn from Sota, but even Savik Tum Brishas Rabim Lakula, we also learn from Sota. So the question on that Tosfos, they point out our Tosfos work out much better because the question they ask on that Tosfos is if that's true that Savitum Rishus Hayachid Tame and Savitum Rishus Rabin Tar are both derived from Sota, then why would we distinguish between the two as far as Chazakas is concerned? Meaning, why Savitum Rishus Hayachid, which we derive from Sota to say is Tame Tame Vaday, why would that be true even against the Cheskas Tara like Tosfos says over there, whereas Savitum Rishus Rabim, which we say Tar is only when there's no Cheskas Tuma, right? Wouldn't work against the Cheskas Tuma. Why would there be a distinction between the two? According to our Tosfos, we understand very well why there would be a distinction. There would be a distinction because Savik Tum Brishas Rabim Tar is not derived from Sota, it's based on Chazaka. Okay, so it's not going to be strong enough to overpower another Chazaka. So that you'd make sense, you'd understand that there would be such a distinction. But it's a Kasha, according to the Shita of Tosfos and Maseches Nida, Rav Shach does a piece in Gina Sego, Simon and Zayin, working on that kasha, trying to explain why it is, how to justify that shita in Tosfos. Another couple of interesting points relating to Savik Tum Brishas Rabim. First of all, the laws of what's called the Brishas Rabim, what's called Rishas Hayachid, apply not only to Chashabis and not only to Safik Tumah, there's also something called Malbin Pnei Chaver Barabim. There's a terrible iser for someone to embarrass someone publicly. How public is publicly? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav Halacha Ches, that it's also for a person to lahach l'mes Yisrael v'kol shekein barabim, afal pisham machlum es chaverein aloka alav, avon gadol hu. Even though there's no malchus, it's a terrible avera, kachamru chachamim, hamalbim pnei chaveru barabim, ein lo chelek li'olam haba. That someone who's malbim pnei chaveru barabim doesn't have a chelek li'olam haba. So that's a pretty strong statement, so you'd want to know who exactly fits that category. So the Ram goes on to say, that's why a person has to be careful not to be mevayish chaveru even in a davar katan. And he can't call him a name that's derogatory. You have to be very noach lo'lodim shi'abal atzim l'kif sh'nesh val yalbim pnei chaver b'rabim. You might even say it's halacha l'maisa. You might say, well, what difference does it make? I'm going to try not to embarrass anyone privately or publicly. So who cares how we define what's called publicly? Well, maybe in Nafkamina, some of the poskim understand that Noach and some of the Rishonim, that the din that the Gemara Masechta Sota tells us in Daf Yud, that it's better for a person to be thrown into a kifshon ha'esh rather than to be malbim pnei chaver barabim, is a halachic statement. That if someone holds a gun to your head and says, embarrass that fellow publicly or I will kill you, that it's yaharig val yavar, that a person has to get killed rather than embarrass somebody publicly. Tosus holds that way in Sota, because Tosus asks, how come it's not on the list of the three things that we are Val Yavar, Masech, Sanhedrin, where we say, well, Zorgi, the Rosh, where's Halbanas Panim? So Tosus writes that we're only listing, in that list in Sanhedrin, we only list that which is Mefurish Pekra. But averos that are not explicit in the pasuk, even though Eino Chinami, it's Yarek Val Yavar, it doesn't make the list of Masech Sanhedrin. But Tosfos assumes that Eino Chinami, it is Yarek Val Yavar. Rabbeinu Yonah writes that way. Rabbeinu Yonah says it's not Bizrai or Ritzich. It's just like Shvichas Damim to be Malim Pnei Chaver Brabim. So how do we define Rabim? It's a big nafkamina lemaisa. Whether you should take the bullet or not, whether a person should get killed rather than to embarrass someone in that situation. So in the Pnini Halacha section of the Masipta over here, he quotes from the Kerem Net in Sota Daf Yud on that Gemara where it talks about Tamar and how the limud that we know that it's better to be thrown into a kifshon ha'esh than to be malbin barabim, and he suggests maybe rabim means asara, maybe it means a minion, because sometimes that's what a tzibur is. A tzibur is asara, but the Prima Gadim Tevas Goma suggests that maybe we should derive from our sugya that three people would qualify as a rabim. Any less than three would not qualify as rabim, but three people already qualifies as Rambam, and that's what the Chavetz Chaim writes in Hilchos Lashon Hara, and he brings a raya from a Gemara in Gittin, a Gemara in Ksubis, that a Rabbim in general refers to three people, so Mal Pnei Chaver Rabbim would apply even if it's just three people that one were embarrassing. There's also an interesting point, and we'll get moving in a second, but there's an interesting point Rav Shechter makes in Eretz HaTzvi, in Simon Yud Beis, where he discusses the concept of tznius. And he points out that some people are under the mistaken impression that women are not mitzdarif to a minyan because of some sort of lower madrega than a man or something like that, or like just like an eved is not mitzdarif to a minyan, so a woman is like an eved or some chauvinistic type of thing. He says no, that's not at all the halacha. He says that's not the logic at all for the halacha. He says shamati mi rabbeinu agrit salvechik, that the Rav Salvechik explained she'ena davar kein, that's not it. It's clear that women have every bit the kedusha sisol that a man has, but they're potter from mitzvah shasman grama. He says a fascinating chiluk. He says an eved is not chayiv in mitzvah shasman grama. A woman is chayiv in them, but then is potter from them. Meaning she has full kedushas Yisrael, that would be mechayiv in all mitzvos, but then she has an exemption of mitzvah shazman grama. Mitzvos are a reflection of kedusha. So more mitzvos means more kedusha. B'nei Noach have 7 mitzvos, B'nei Yisrael have 613 mitzvos. It's just that there are many of these mitzvos that were, Kohanim have certain mitzvos that Yisrael don't have. They have a higher level of kedusha than Yisrael has because of those mitzvos. The mitzvos are always a reflection of kedusha. But the way to view the exemption of women is not that they're not shaykh to those mitzvos. They're shaykh to those mitzvos, but there's a patur from them. So that's why they're absolutely equal to men. It's just in terms of the kedusha, they're just patur, as opposed to an Eved Kenani, where he doesn't have kedusha Yisrael at all. So he says, what about Tziruv to a minyan, if you're going to say that the kedusha is the same? So he points out that the shita of the Rashba and the Ritva, at the beginning of Maseches Nida, is that those who hold that they quote those who hold that even Lagabe Din of Savik Tum Rishus Harabim, where the Geder is, three people makes up a Rishus Harabim, you need three men, and three women don't count to make up Rishus Harabim, which is a remarkable Chiddush, considering that the Limud is from Sota, it's from a woman being, right? But nevertheless, that's the sheet of several Rishonim, they need three men. Well, why? Why would you need three men to make up Rishus Harabim? So he suggests a fascinating idea. The Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Memeim Bei says, Mea Nashi Ketrei Gavri Damyan, that 100 women is like two men. What does that mean? So he says, based on what the Emek Bracha writes, that there are two types of zimun, let's say. When you get three people together to make a zimun, that's the context of Maseches Brachos. Sometimes it's a chova, and sometimes it's a reshus. Why would it sometimes be a chova, sometimes be a reshus? A chova is where you have a chalos shem chabura of three, or a chalos shem tzibur of yud, of 10 people. And by nashim, you never have a rabim, you never have a chabura. And the reason for that is that there's a heightened sensitivity to tznius, and tznius doesn't mean what you cover, what you don't cover. That's part of it. Tznius means living a life of privacy, where a person doesn't advertise everything about themselves, and a person is not just putting themselves out there. So there's a heightened sensitivity to tznius when it comes to women. So since women have a heightened sensitivity to tznius, they live a more private life. Whether they do or not practically is irrelevant, but in the ideal, in the Jewish ideal, a woman lives a more private life. She doesn't put herself out there publicly, so she doesn't have the capacity to create a tzibur, because tzibur, or a chabura, requires going out, requires connecting to others, being in a more public eye. So that's what the halacha tells us, that women are only going to be in mizamnos rishus, they're only going to have rishus to be mizamnos. Why? Because they never make a chabura, they never make a tzibur. So he said, that's why they're not mizayv to me. It's not because of less kedusha sola adraba, it's a reflection of very great kedusha and a great sensitivity to tznius. We all have an inyan of tznius, vatznei alech simashem lekech applies to all of us. And Rav Shach says, it's always unfortunate that sometimes men have to compromise our tznius to be in the public eye, but someone's got to do it. Yeah, you need people who are public figures who do things, but it's not the ideal. The ideal is tznius, and for a woman, the halacha actually defines that level of tznius that it takes away the capacity to create a halachic chabura or a halachic tzibur. And he says that's the same thing with Savi Tum Rishus Rabim. The gedder of a rabim is not three people who happen to be, near the same area, right? Where the Rambam said in the same chatzar, the Rabbi said in that they're all shaykh to the Tzom, that they're struggling. The Rishonim are struggling, trying to figure out what makes three people a group for a Rabbim. So that's this shita in Rishonim, that it needs to be men because they need to be connected to each other. They need to create a chabura of people in order for it to be something to Rishus Rabbim. If it's women who are living chayitz nius, so you're not going to have that level of connection. So that's why women, that maybe would explain that shita in Rishonim. Okay, let's see the Gemara further now. Two dots on Amud Beis. So Mishnah said Megalchenu Mavin. So they're Megaleach, the people who have the Safek Tuma, and they bring the Karbonos with the Tanai and everything. Vamai. Wait a second, how could they both be Megaleach? One of them might not be Tamei. And I mean, one of them isn't Tamei. And the guy that's not Tamei is going to be doing Hakafa. He's going to be cutting off his payas. And that's Asur. One is not allowed to cut off their payas. So how are you allowed to do that? We're talking about a Nazir who's a woman or a child. We're not talking about a man who's a Nazir. If a man is a Nazir, he can't do this, and he's kind of stuck. But a woman who's a Nazir is allowed to, is not Mitzuvah in a Kapas HaRosh. A woman is allowed to cut off the Peyos HaRosh. And a child who's a Nazir. How can a child be a Nazir? So the Rosh points out, Mufla Samach Liyish, that one is Higiyah La'onas Nedarim, is able to take Nedarim before the age where he becomes a Bar Mitzvah and everything else. So Mufla some of the ish would be able to be a nazir. Well, why don't we just say that we're talking about a gadol, and just say that cutting off all the hair on the head is not called cutting off the peis. The peis from cutting off the peis is only when you leave the hair on top of the head. Says from the fact that we don't give that answer, which would cover all cases and would make our Mishnah much more broadly applicable, and we instead say, oh, the Mishnah must only talk about a case of a woman and a child. So from the fact that we don't give that answer, it must be that Shmuel holds that when you shave off all the hair on your head, that is a violation of cutting off the peos harosh. Marzutra taught Shmuel's Shmuel's statement with regard to the Seifa. The Seifa says, Nazir, the Sefer meaning the next mission. Nazir Shayitame Bisafik, Umuchlet Bisafik. Let's say you have a Nazir, we discussed it already yesterday. You have a Nazir who's not sure if he's Tame, he's also not sure if he has Saras. So Ochel Bekachim Lachar Shishim Yom, Umegalech Dalit Tiglachos. He can only eat Kachim 60 days in, and he has to shave four times. And remember, we said that he only can become tummy to a mace and drink yayin again after 120 days. But Amai the Vachad Zin Vakavet Hakafa. How could he do all these giluchos? Isn't he doing Hakafa? Isn't it a violation of Hakafa Sarosh? Meaning all these things are misafek. He doesn't know what he is. So how can you do Hakafa? How can you violate an issue in the Torah of cutting off the payas? Amr Shmuel be isha v'katan. So that's where Shmuel said be isha v'katan. We're talking about a woman or a katan. That's where you could do the four giluchos. So Amr Rav Huna hamakif as a katan arei chayiv. Once we're talking about cutting off payas and we're talking about a child in his payas, someone who's makif a katan, if an adult is makif a katan, he's going to be chayiv. Meaning gives the child the haircut where he cuts off his payas. Amli Rav Adbarav l'Rav Huna v'didach man megaleach lahum. So Rav Adbarav says to Rav Huna, and who are megaleach your children? How come your kids don't have payas? Remarkable that Rav Huna's children didn't have payas. They cut off their payas. So Amalei Chova, he said, oh, my wife did that. Her name is Chova. She's the one that did it. So he got so upset. Tikbarin and Chova lebnei, that Chova should bury her children. That's how upset Rav Adbarava was that Rav Huna's wife Chova cut off the payas of the kids. And as long as Rav Adbarava was alive, Rav Huna's children never survived. Rav Huna's children kept on dying. Meaning, bris krusalis vasayim, even though he was probably just saying it as an expression, he was saying that that she's not being mechanich them properly, and if you're not mechanich someone properly, then they might as well not even be there. But he was just saying it as an expression. But because he phrased it so harshly, bris krusalis vasayim, that's what actually happened. Now it's interesting. The name of the woman is Chova. There is a man in Shas whose name is Chova. In Baba Kama, the father of Rabbi Shmuel is also called Chova. So this is a discussion that some of the poskim have about unisex names. Can you use names that are both for a boy or a girl? Can you name a boy after a girl after a boy? In one of the rebbes, I think it says that he named two of his grandsons Chana, because he thought that naming a boy after a girl is a maila, is an aliyah to the name, so you can name a boy after a girl, but not a girl after a boy. So two of his grandsons had to walk around with the name Chana their whole lives. Okay, so Michti, Tarvayu Sira, Akavas Kala Rosh, Shema Akava. So both Shitas seem to hold that Akavas Kala Rosh is called Akava, but Michael Michti, what's the Nekudas HaMachlokas? Rav Huna Savar, Lo Takifu Pas Rosh, Kam Lo Sashkes, Es Pas Kenecha, that we link Kafas Arosh with the issue of shaving the beard. Kol sheyesh la hashchasa yesh la kafa. So anyone who's mitzuvah na hashchasa is mitzuvah na kafa. V'hani nashi hol v'lasnu b'hashchasa lasnu nami v'akafa. So women are not included in the issue of hashchasa. So mele, they're not included in akafa. So they could be the nikaf or the makif. Ravad bar Ava savor. Ravad bar Ava says no. Echad makif echad nikaf b'mashma. That makif and nikaf, both the person getting the haircut and giving the haircut, are included in the issur. V'iskish makif v'nikaf. We link the one giving the haircut to the one getting the haircut. Kalhecha de nikif mechayev, makif nami mechayev. Anytime the nikif would be chayev, the makif would also be chayev. Vaikat and holvu guf elav baronshin udim mechayev, makif nami lo mechayev. But the child is elav baronshin for him to be chayev, so the makif is also not going to be chayev. So they're just arguing in terms of the specifics of how to make the drasha, but everyone agrees, apparently, that a kafas kala rosh is in fact called a kafa, and would be a problem. The only issue is whether it's permissible for a woman to do a hakafa on a child. Apparently it's assumed, according to everybody, that an adult may not do the hakafa on a child in spite of any drasha. So Tosfos has a discussion about why that's the case. All right, but Hashem will pick up with Lema Kafas Kalos tonight, tomorrow.